Usually when looking for a message or when you start to think of a message, at least I do, I go back on our website and I look at previous messages to see if anybody has covered that topic. And of course, by now, everybody's covered every single topic. So you would think. Well, I came across a sermonette that I had given 3 years ago that had to do with being vessels for God. So I asked myself if I could use this message again, and of course myself said, sure, why not? So here is my message for you today. I'd like you all to, both of you sitting here and those of you out on the internet, I'd like you to close your eyes. And I'd like you to think about imagining what it would be like to be without your sight for 3 days. Now, think about this. During that time, while you haven't been seeing, you've also had nothing to eat. You've had nothing to drink. What would that be like for you? Keep on closing your eyes. I'd like you now to imagine that you are a Christian in the early church. Your faith is constantly being tested because of the times you find yourself living in. There is one man in particular that is wreaking havoc on the church, and so much so that he is hauling true Christians off to jail, torturing them, and having them even killed. Now again, I'd like you to imagine that God comes to you in a vision. And he tells you that you must go and you must lay your hands on no other than the man who has been causing so much division and trouble for the church. And you must anoint him. We'll go ahead and open your eyes. And I'd like to turn to Acts 9, verse 15 and 16. Acts chapter 9, verse 15 and verse 16 says, "But the Lord said unto him, Go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my names before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Of course, this is no other than the Apostle Paul. He was called by God. God specifically calls him a chosen vessel. Why? Why use those words? Now, not a lot has told us about Ananias, the one who anointed Paul, and most likely who baptized him. But what faith it took for him to go and to do this thing that God had commanded. Who are we to say when God commands something? You know, even though Paul had done terrible things, God had chosen to use him mightily. God sees all things. God knows all things. And his plan for all people happens as he sees fit. I find it interesting and useful, which is why I had you close your eyes, to think about people who are mentioned in the Bible, to put ourselves in those situations, in those shoes. You know, Ananias told God, "Don't you know what this man has done to the church? The problems he's created?" And yet God saw beyond that. And so we know that God puts people in the body of Christ as he sees fit, for the growth and for the betterment of the church and for his glory. You know, when God calls us, it's by his doing and his alone. It's his choice. He has made that decision. But how often do we spend time meditating on this fact? How often does it affect our choices, our attitudes, or our moods? Our daily state of being. Christ clearly stated in John 15 and verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruits should remain, and that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. We've heard a lot about fruits this past week and the messages we've heard, but it means daily living as a Christian. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19 to 22, and I'll read this one from the Amplified Bible. 2 Timothy 2, beginning in verse 19, it says, "Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God, which he has laid, stands sure and unshaken despite attacks, bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of the Lord stand apart from wickedness and withdraw from wrongdoing. Now in a large house there are not only vessels and objects of gold and silver, but also vessels and objects of wood and of earthenware. And some are for honorable or noble and good use, and some are for dishonorable, ignoble, or common use. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things which are dishonorable, disobedient, or sinful, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, and set apart for a special purpose, and useful to the master, prepared for every good work." We are these vessels. Like Paul, we have each been called by God to accomplish something in this present time. Now, how sure are we, each of us, that we will accomplish what God has called us to do? Do we take for granted the job that he has given each of us to do? Maybe sometimes we count ourselves unworthy. But our job, brethren, is to become better every day. Even if it's 0.01%, at least that's you're making a step forward, an effort. I'd like to read Romans chapter 9 and beginning in verse 20. I'll read to verse 23. Romans 9 and verse 20 says, "But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, 'Why have you made me like this?' Does not the potter have power over the clay, from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much longsuffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, that he may make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory?" God warns us that we are not to strive with him. Rather, we are to be seeking his will. We are to seek to make ourselves useful for every good work. We are to be seeking how to build up and how to encourage, how to bring glory and honor to God through our works. Isaiah 45 and verse 9 says, "Woe to him who strives with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, 'What are you making?' Or shall your handiwork say, 'He has no hands'?" Again, in Jeremiah 18, verse 2 to 6, another interesting scripture, Jeremiah 18 and beginning of verse 2 says, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter, so he made it again into a vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the words of the Lord came to me, saying, 'O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter?' says the Lord. Look, as the clay is in the hands, in the potter's hands, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." Now, this is a warning from God for Israel, from now and in the future. You know, we are responsible now to be making sure that we will be in the kingdom of God so that we can help others in that time and help them in their opportunity. But if we are not doing so now, how can we be so sure that we will be in God's kingdom to help others when the time comes? In Isaiah 66 and verse 20, it says this, "And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord, out of all nations, upon horses, and in chariots, and in litters, and upon mules, and upon swift beasts, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says the Lord. As the children of Israel bring an offering and a clean vessel into the house of the Lord." And what a beautiful thing this will be to see. Everyone coming to worship before the true God of the universe, no longer following the dictates of their own hearts. Hopefully, brethren, we have spent the last 7 days looking at our lives, meditating on the things that really matter. Hopefully reminding ourselves that we need to be making time each and every day to have a relationship with God. And that means taking time to study and to pray and to meditate. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7 to 10, it says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, and we are those earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body." Brethren, our power and our strength comes from God. We have to renew this daily so that we can keep pushing forward, especially as the world is getting darker. And if you're not seeing that it is getting darker each and every day, then it's time to wake up. As Mr. Rob Harris said this morning, it is time for our lights to keep shining and be shining even brighter in our vessels, not becoming discouraged or frustrated or angry. And that's so easy to do. You know, it is easy for stress to come in and to wipe us out. It's easy to fall victim to complaining about whatever situations we find ourselves in. But it's time for us to wake up and to take on each day with zeal and with focus. Brethren, we now have the opportunity to show God a token of our thanks by giving an offering. So let's make sure our offering that we should be giving daily is also a reflection in our offering now.